All right.
Stay where you are. You don't have to move. Open up your Bibles. Anywhere is good. But you can go to two scriptures this morning. Acts 4 and then 1 Thessalonians 5. So in the week, I messaged Barent and told him that I've kind of got something on my heart. And I told him I feel like God is speaking to us about encouraging one another. And so I prepared a lot. And so then he messages me on Friday morning and he says, John, that's great, but I want you to share from your heart with no notes. And for those who know me, I take studying really, really seriously. And so I'm a little nervous this morning. So I'm putting my notes in my pocket and my other 9 pages that I prepared, and I'm going to be a man under authority, and I'm going to submit this morning. And I know this, we want to, as leaders, whoever's sharing, we want to share from the overflow of our heart. You know me, I like being prepared and like, you know, like, John, that was so cool. And it's like, yeah, I hope so, because it takes me weeks sometimes to prepare one message, and I really go into the background, and I love researching, and I love studying the Bible. So, with that in mind, I'd like some encouragement this morning. I would have, yay! Okay. So I'm going to share what I feel like God laid on my heart about encouraging one another. Okay? If you want a title of this very short message, it's this: Encourage Like Barnabas. Okay, you guys can stop or be seated. Encourage like Barnabas. Okay, ask the person next to you, what is your name? And then you say to them, be like Barnabas. Okay, hold on, don't leave, don't run out. It gets better, all right? How many of you have seen those little memes with the TikTok videos, and then it says, a few moments later. Have you? I want you to leave this morning with the feeling of you want to be an encouragement a few moments later. You got that? Okay, that was meant to be funny. So, I remember at school, for those who don't know, I went to school on the Bluff. I lived on the Bluff in Durban. Someone had to. So, and I went to a school called Grosvenor. Again, someone had to. We were known for many things, which I won't get into. And the one beautiful thing was we had these really nice science science studios, science labs. And we knew that somewhere in the year, there's going to come a day when we're going to do a science experiment where you watch certain metals burn in oxygen. So all the guys said, guys, you know those little steel sharpeners? Remember those steel sharpeners? So you screw off the blade, and then what's left is a combination of aluminium and zinc. And anyway, but all the guys that are on the senior year said, collect your sharpeners and be ready. So there we were. We were all waiting. And there was one specific guy who was very naughty. He had like a whole bunch. So as we were doing the science experiment about burning metals in oxygen, he pulls out his little metal sharpener, and he starts burning it, and then he has the experiment. You put it immediately in a thing of oxygen, and this thing just lights up. It goes really bright, you know. But one small thing he didn't bargain on was that he had more than one sharpener, and there was more than enough oxygen. So the whole thing burst, and there was a fire in the closet. It's only in Durban on the Bluff. And it nearly burnt the school down. So here's what I believe God is saying in that. We have the potential, as we encourage people, to burn white hot for Jesus. All right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. Isn't that a nice three? Where do you live? Thessalonica. Can't it just be like Cape Town? Okay. And he says, so encourage each other and build each other up. And I like this part. Just as you are already doing. So as I share this, it doesn't mean that you're not doing it. I'm saying to you, keep on doing it. And if you're stirring to do it more, which I hope that is the case, then I'm hoping you're going to put your hand up and say, John, I'm going to burn white hot and I'm going to encourage others. Is that a deal? a few moments later. Okay? You got it? Okay? Go to Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37. There was a man in the early church who was one of the early apostles called Barnabas. He was actually renamed. They renamed him. He was actually born Joseph. He came out of a Levitical family. So let's read this. Now, the end of Acts chapter 4, remember there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter got up and explained that in the whole of Acts 4 is about the early church growing. And then Luke, the author of Acts, says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles, nicknamed Barnabas, and in brackets, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So this guy, Barnabas, was one of the early apostles. But God used him, which we'll look at just now, to actually encourage Paul. And he was a partner of Paul in the gospel for many, many years. All right? Did you know this? Let me explain to this. Wow, I want to talk a little bit about Barnabas. Because if we understand his history, then you'll understand how he naturally flowed in this gift of encouragement. Firstly, he grew up in a Levitical household. What does that mean? That comes from the tribe of Levi, which were the Levites. And they were, in the Old Testament, they were the full-time workers of God, almost like the priests. Okay? And they would rely on the income, and they would be there full-time, ready to serve Jesus, or God, Jehovah, in the temple. So he would have grown up with a Levitical and a Jewish background. Watch this. It says he grew up in an island called Cyprus. Where is that? It's in Greece. So he's a Jew growing up in Cyprus. Guess what? He knew both cultures. You see where God's going now? Then, which it doesn't say that here, but Bible historians and scholars say this. He planted a church in Antioch. All right? But in Antioch, this church was very different. There were Gentiles being added to the church in great number to the existing Jews who were now finding out, I don't have to live in the Old Testament. I can live as a New Testament Messianic Jew. That's a Jew who's got born again. How many of you think that must have been a beautiful thing to observe? Jews saying like, hey, we're special. And there's like, and then Barnabas said, no, you're not special. Because now we're all on the same level. Gentiles saying, hey, but we thought this thing of God is only for the Jews. And Barnabas is saying, no. Now, in the New Testament, there's no Jew, no Gentile. We're all children of God. You got to picture this. Paul gets Saul of Tarsus. He gets saved in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 9, Barnabas introduces Saul, who's now Paul, to the apostles of the new church. Watch this now. Remember, before Jesus, Saul was persecuting the church, killing the very Christians that right now he's in heaven with, worshiping Jesus with. What a thought. Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Right? So the New Testament church, when Saul got saved, they were scared. They were fearful. But God uses Barnabas, and he brings Saul, and he says, do not fear. This man has got saved. He's born again. He introduces them to the New Testament apostles. All of a sudden, the early church embraces him, and they start a journey. They plant churches. They see the churches grow. And there's a beautiful partnership between Paul and Barnabas. All right? Tell the person next to you, be like Barnabas. Okay? Now, when someone changes your name, watch this. Look at that scripture. They changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas. How about someone changing your name? So like, let's take Francois. Where's Francois that led worship? Oh, there you are. Imagine if Francois is worshiping so much. And we see that like, it's just his whole life is so captured with worship. Then we change his name to David. That's how radical this is. You see, in the Old Testament and in the early church, your name meant a lot. And it said a lot about who you are. So Barnabas was just going around and encouraging people. That was his life because he had seen both cultures. And he's got this revelation of, it's not just the chosen, frozen Jews anymore. It's now the gospel is open to everyone. Okay? And he was kind of telling the Jews, stop being so prideful, but also telling the Gentiles, stop thinking so little of yourself. You're also included in the family of God now. Okay? And he was an encourager. Why? Because that just came naturally to him. Okay. So you might say, okay, John, why is this important for us? I'm glad you asked. What is the name of our church? Which means?
Joshua Generation.
What does that mean? If you understand the early days of the church, this church, Andrew started the church, and he felt in God, he wants to call us Joshua Generation. Here's why. Joshua was someone who God called after Moses to inherit the land that Moses should have inherited, but he didn't. In Deuteronomy 3:28, God tells Moses, go and tell Joshua, I'm calling him to inherit the land that I'm calling him to inherit. And then God tells Moses, and encourage him and strengthen him. And then in Joshua chapter 1, we read where God comes to Joshua and says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Go and inherit the land. Three times, first in Deuteronomy and then three times in one chapter, God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Go and inherit the land that I've called you to. Now, without you knowing, you signed up for that. So tell the person next to you, we are Joshua, and we are going to encourage each other like Barnabas, and we're going to be strong and courageous. You get the picture? Why? Because life is tough, people. All the moms, please lift your hand. If raising children is tough, keep your hand up. Yeah, everyone. All the business people, lift your hand. If running your own business is tough, keep your hand up. Hello? Life is tough. All those with teenagers, you're like saying, John, I need three hands. Okay, it's tough. Those who face opposition, just in this week, I had someone and saying, John, I can't pray. The damn enemy's lying to me. That's tough. It's right there where I need to be switched on and saying, this person needs something and I'm going to be that to that person. And at that moment, I'm going to encourage someone. Okay? Three times, God says to Joshua, be strong. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Okay, now, how many of you see those birds flying over the beach here every sunset and every sunrise? Or am I the only one? Okay? Geese. Oh, my mouth is very dry now. Where's my water? Thank you, brother. Geese fly in a V formation. Why? Because the front three take on the burden, just for a moment, and then you'll see they rotate. Here's the science behind that. The other birds behind those three, there's a technical term called the upswash. It's a word, trust me. But actually, the others hardly have to fly. They actually feel a lifting up just because of the effort that the front three birds are putting in for you. Friends, you and I, at times, we take up the reins and we flap so that the people behind us can feel the upsurge. And then when we're tired, because we all get tired, Bible says a third of Jesus' life was spent praying and resting. We go and we chill at the back. Not forever. And that doesn't mean the people at the back are only chilling. You get the picture. God is calling each and every one of us to be an encourager. Encourage someone. You never know what people need. The amount of times I'll have someone on my heart and I'll message them and I'll say, hey, I was praying for you. And for those who know, my prayer life has changed a lot. I was up at 3 again this morning praying for certain people and us. And the amount of people, I have a word and Sometimes I just text, sometimes I send a voice note. It's like, John, you have no idea. That's an answer to prayer. You never know how you're going to encourage someone. I love WhatsApp. Imagine what Paul could have done with WhatsApp. Hello, people. Have you thought of that? And the internet. I mean, hello. Like now, instantly, I got friends overseas. Like instantly, we speak to each other. We never know what encouragement is actually going to mean to one another. If you're looking at the time, I've been going 15 minutes and I'm nearly finished. You know why? We felt in God. God wants us to be unstructured. And that's what I'm learning this morning. Okay? Be unstructured. That word which speaks of encouragement is the word called paraklesis. Don't write it down. Trust me. It's there. It comes from the word parakletos. How many of you have heard that one before? When Jesus comes and he tells the discipleship, fear not, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will show you all things. He will comfort you. He will assist you. That's parakletos. Are there any attorneys here? Lawyers? Andre's not here. But it literally means my advocate. It's someone that I lean on and I rely on heavily for every day and every minute of every life. That's my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit. It sounds weird. Are you with me? It comes from the same root word. When God says to us, encourage one another while it is still today, stand strong. It's that same word, but it's a different, it's the same root word, but it's paraklesis. That it means to encourage, to console. Friends, why? Because we need it. In fact, Romans 12 says, the gift of encouragement is a gift. But here's the beauty. You don't need to be labeled, I have the gift of encouragement. Anyone can encourage others. If you've got Jesus in your heart, would you please lift your hand? Keep your hand up. And I want to say this because I believe there are some here this morning. You might be thinking, John, that's not really my cup of tea. I don't really know how to do it. Listen, if you've got Jesus in your heart, that's enough to encourage someone. Okay, you can drop your hand now. In fact, Jesus put that on us. He said, you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. Listen to this. Salt we know preserves. I want to talk about that little phrase called light. In the Bible times, especially when Jesus was alive, there was a huge emphasis on philosophical and public speakers that would speak these intelligent speeches, and they would get paid thousands of dollars per minute or whatever. I'm exaggerating. In fact, Paul writes to the one church and he sarcastically says to them, you know, are you now going to, you know, am I going to charge you a lot for coming to your church? And he says, no, not at all. Okay? And that public arena for philosophical and public speaking and encouragers would be only be reserved for people who are highly intelligent or learned people. Jesus turns that whole thing upside down. Here's why. Because when one of those walked, people would say, there goes a light. Jesus turns that whole thing on its head and he says, you are the light. 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 And I love that. Paul writes, he said, we are qualified because of Jesus. Can you see that? So you are light. If you've got Jesus, you are a light in this dark world. Okay? That's my message. Encourage someone. Simple. That's it. Yeah. True story. I love just following the wave and the wind of the Spirit. Every day I'm like, Lord, and my family knows, if we're going to eat out or have coffee, I will speak to the waiter or waitress. I will. I'll leave them a little note. Hey, Jesus loves you. Who was with me on Friday? I was with Chris. We were at someone. Anyway, in the shops, I do this every now and then. I'm like, Lord, whose bill can I pay? Whose groceries can I pay for? So God says to me, go to that till there. So I go there. And then as I'm finished, I look back and I see this other lady coming. And immediately I just felt God saying, pay for her. She's got two bags of groceries. So I stand there. I stand behind. And I whisper to the lady at the till, I'm going to pay her groceries. She looks at me, says, don't worry, my card is legit, it's okay. And I pay for her groceries, just the two bags, and I walk. And she calls me. I'm nearly in the car park. She calls me with tears running down her eyes. And she says, I don't know who you are, but I prayed this morning that God would bless me. The groceries I'm buying right now, it's the last that I have for the month. Thank you. And I encouraged her. I said, you know why this is happening? Because God hears you and you're special. And while I'm talking to her and encouraging her, the tears are streaming down her face. I don't know what people around us were thinking, but there she is standing. Like, I said, he loves you. God heard you. And I pray for breakthrough in your life. Know that today. He loves you. And yeah, I don't know where she is now, but be obedient. You never know. A text message. Krista always sends people scriptures. And the amount of times she'll like, just do stuff. And then when many of you have been on the receiving end of those, just encourage someone. You never know what it's going to do for them. Amen.